If you want to continue your relationship with me in a virtual way, there's a couple ways to do that. If you just go to billferris.com or icounselchristians.com, it will take you to my recently reworked webpage. And there are podcasts on there I'd like to point your attention to. These are come in two styles. There's one called Shot of Grace, which is like about 15 minutes or less on different topics. And then there's one called, there's a group of them called Gracelets Audio, and those are about 25 minutes each. And they cover topics like spiritual warfare, how to encourage an honoring home, how to overcome worry, and a number of other topics, which you can just review on there. They are all leaked on, I have a page on what's called Spreaker.com, and they're all posted on there. But you can get to them through the website if you wanted to do that. The other thing is that I do publish weekly an e-newsletter called Gracelets. And if you want to receive that, it's free. And I try to just vary the topics. It's all very similar in integrating God's word with real life issues and challenges and opportunities. And that's available just by email me, billferris@billferris.com, and I'll add you to the mailing list. Usually comes out on Mondays. So that's a couple ways we can stay connected. I'm just going to talk about something because you're going to do all the work this morning. This is what I've been preparing you for all weekend, okay? So buckle your seatbelts. But anyway, I just want to say one little thing here this morning before I sort of prep you for your interaction that we've been teeing up all weekend. Sometimes I think in my history in the church that when I've heard Christian marriage exalted in the church, it's only sort of been one model of what God wants. The ideal Christian marriage has been presented rather, at least this is my impression, this is what I've taken away, is that what God really wants is what I would call a soulmate marriage, where the couple just is so into each other that they complete each other's sentences and they just, you know, they're just, and you know what? There's people like that. There's people in this room like that. That there is such a thing as that sort of just best friend, just hugely, you know, intertwined, interconnected soulmate experience that some couples really seem to have. And I honor that. It's a beautiful thing, and it's a worthy thing it's a beautiful thing to behold and a worthy thing to develop if that is kind of your style. But I think there's at least two other styles. And so what I've done is I've just put together, using the three primary colors, what I think the colors of marriage are. And I think that when you think about it this way, you think about God's genius being an artistic genius, and he uses these colors and he combines them. So I'm going to tell you about what I think are three colors of marriage, and I'm going to suggest that possibly you major in one and maybe minor in one or two of the others, and that you make a certain kind of a blend. Remember how I said the first day that there are no two marriages that are exactly alike, and maybe there's no two colors that are exactly the same hue in this room, but something like what I'm trying to explain this way will maybe be helpful to you to understand your style of marriage and your style of union. And so I have these three colors, the ruby red marriage, the mellow yellow marriage, and the ocean blue marriage, okay? So style. So the ruby red couple is the one I just described. They're the soulmates, the best friends, the ones that are super into each other. They complete each other's sentences. They can't stand to be away from each other for 1 second, all that kind of thing. You know, that's and so I won't say a lot more about that because I already have. But that's kind of, I think, one way that we think it can think about a marital style. That's the ruby red color marriage. And then I think there's another one called I'll call the mellow yellow marriage. And this is a little bit what I talked about the other day as a couple who are mutual advocates. And that is to say that I think of it like leapfrog. And I think this is really the color that Robin and I major in. This is like our major color, which is like, you know, I get down on all fours and Robin leaps over me into the next thing that God has for her in life. And then she gets down on all fours and then I leapfrog over her into the next thing that God has for me in life. And then I get down. And we've just done this for almost 40 years now. And what we've done is we've advocated for each other From the very beginning of our union, I've always understood Robin has a different call than I do in her kind of professional life and in her vocational life, that she is called in nursing. She always has been. Ever since I knew her, she was an LVN when we first met. I'd like to say the story about how I met her when I was in Bible school, and there was a Red Cross drive for blood, you know, in the school. And Robin was an LVN. She was helping the Red Cross workers do the blood drive. So she came up to me, and she did whatever the nice things that they were helping with the Red Cross people do. And I was looking at her going, wow, you know, this is nice. And this is before the junior high thing I told you about the other day. This is my very first introduction to her. So she helped out, and I gave blood that day. And I like to tell people, see, first she took my blood, then she took my heart. Okay, okay. Yeah, I know. I got that from you, Bill. Okay, so anyway. In any case, you know, I've always understood that one of my roles, one of my callings in my ministry to her in life is to empower her calling, her ministry, her becoming all that she's called to be. And she has really generously done that for me. I think one of the things that's really helpful to do in your life is to walk through your story, and this is really good to do as a story of you as a couple, and note your major transitions. Bill was talking about a couple that he and Joy have experienced, some of those huge transitional times in your life. We all have stories of transitions, large and small, job changes, health crises, various, you know, children coming, faith, you know, some people have mentioned that their spouse led them to Christ. But just when you sort of really take the time to map those, I think that I've had six major transitions in our life since Robin and I have been married, and she has been central to each one of those transitions. We've both had a very important part to play. A friend of mine said to me, Bill, you know, you're kind of this guy. You're kind of like, you go along for a while, and then you kind of see the next place you want to be, and it's like over the jungle into some clearing way over there. So you get in a helicopter and you fly over the jungle and you drop into that next place, and the rest of us in your life are hacking our way through the jungle trying to get to you because you're already there and you're excited to be there. And we get about the time we get to you, you know, you're back in another helicopter going over to the next clearing because you now have seen a new vision. And I thought, gosh, she's really right. And when I really mapped my life, there's been six major transitions like that in our story. And so I went to my wife one day and I said, honey, you know, Steve was saying this about the helicopters and the jungle and everything. And I said, I just want to know one thing. Are you okay? Because, you know, I thought, did I just wear you out? You know, I mean, you know. She said, no, I'm okay, honey. It's okay. We're good. You know, I'm okay. So she has survived me for 40 years, you might say, and that's okay. So we've been that mellow yellow couple, those mutual advocates, and that's another very valid style of a Christian marital color. Okay, we'll call it that. And then the third is the one I would call ocean blue, which is really a partnership style. And I mentioned this the other day, but that's, I think, where you realize that God gives you something to face side by side together, kind of as the predominant mission of your marital life. You're just good together as partners facing a common goal. So it might be that you do ministry together. It might be that you raise your children together. Really, you're really partnered in the raising of your children. It's not just her job or his job to raise the kids. It's like you really have a lot of co-ownership in that. Or it might be that you start a business together and you run that business together. It might be that you are, you're taking care of family together. It could be any number of focuses on this side, but just your style is it's not so much that you're completing each other's sentences and you're soul to soul. And it's not that you're kind of advancing each other's agendas through your mutual advocacy. It's really more like we just walk in life side by side and we're just better together. And when we face something together side by side, it's massively important. It's huge to who we are. And we have this sort of flavor to our union that is a side-by-side partner flavor. And I call that the ocean blue flavor. And so my point in bringing this up is to say, you probably major as a couple in one of those three styles and maybe minor in one or two of the other ones, and that gives you a particular blend of colors. I don't know that anybody's entirely one of those things, but, you know, major and minor. And that gives you a sort of a blend of primary colors that's kind of you. And so one thing, I put that out there so it frees you up. I was talking to a couple in counseling a few weeks ago, and I was sharing this with them, and they were going like, oh, that is so freeing. That is so liberating. Now we can kind of reinterpret God's call on our lives. They had been just through a major transition in terms of career and roles and children and a new job, and they suddenly understood that whole thing so differently, and it really helped them to kind of go, okay, we can see this more than one way. So you might say, you know, at some point driving home or whatever, hey, what color do you think we are? You know, and just kind of have a fun conversation about that and see if it elicits something helpful to you. So I'm giving you that just as kind of another, I'm stirring you, Bill would say. I'm stirring you up. All right. So now let's get to this thing about the request you're going to make of each other today. And then it has everything to do with all the ground we've covered. And it has everything to do with notes that you've been taking all along. And so we're going to get, it's going to go like this. You're going to construct in a very specific form. I'm going to ask you to use the words I'm giving you. You're going to construct a request of each other, an ask of each other. And it's going to be done in a very particular way. And it's going to be done in a way that I'm hoping that if you kind of follow what I'm laying out, will help you arrive at something you can practice together very specifically leaving this place, and it will bump up your marriage number by at least one. See, that's the whole point of today, or this weekend, right? Is to level up, go up one more number. And so here is what I'm going to have you do. I'm going to have you, in a few minutes, go back through all the things that you've been writing down and find three items that stand out to you as things that you would potentially like to ask your mate for. Okay, three of the things that you wrote down. We talked about, you know, recreation, and we talked about ministry and service, and we talked about all kinds of different ideas through the weekend, and you gave us some really great ones too, and you took some notes at each point, And now go back through those and circle three that really stand out to you. I think I'd like to ask my spouse about these three things and make some requests around these three specific things that I'd like to see us do or experience or, you know, internalize or whatever. And so three things that you're going to pick out, and take a moment and consider which of the three would, number one, most likely be well received by your partner. So give yourself a leg up on this. Don't ask for something that your partner's going to have a hard time responding in the affirmative to, unless you're one of those big risk takers, you know. I would encourage you to kind of like, you know, hit a single or a double. Don't necessarily try to hit a grand slam on this first one, okay? And so ask them for something that you think there's a pretty good chance that they're going to say yes, okay? And then the second thing is ask for something that the two of you can implement right away. So this is not like, can we go to Europe in 10 years from now, you know, together. This is like, within the next days and weeks ahead, can we go ahead and move into this new practice or new experience or new adventure together right away, okay? So not a long-term thing, a short-term thing. Third, ask for something that would come off as a win-win. In other words, yes, I'm asking for myself, but try to sort of think about your partner and what they'll get out of it, what they might enjoy getting out of your request as well. So yes, you're making a request, and I don't want you to be ashamed or afraid or hold back on making a request that is important to you. You really want this. It's meaningful to you. This is something you really want to see. Don't be ashamed of that, but at the same time, be considerate and thoughtful about what will my partner get out of me asking this? What will be the benefit to them? How might they be more inclined to say yes, because they'll see that it is for me, but it's not just for me. Okay, and so that's the three things. Most likely to be well received, be implemented by the two of you right away, and come off as a win-win. Okay, now you can write that item in under the heading, "You can take me higher." You know, you can take me higher if, and then you've got your top request of the three there. You've got three that you've picked out. Pick one of those three as your first request, and kind of under, "You can take me higher if you blah, blah, blah." Okay? That's how you're going to kind of think about this. Okay, in a minute, I'm going to have you turn and face your spouse and join hands, and we're going to have you go through the process of asking, but I want you to do it very specific, and I want to tell you about the other two items and what's going to happen with those, okay? So what's going to happen is that when I have you team up, the ladies are going to begin first, ladies first, and they're going to begin their sentence, their request this way. They're going to say their husband's name, and then they're going to say, "The ask I have selected for today," okay, "the ask or the request I have selected for today is for you to raise my marriage number by a factor of one by," then make your request. I'm going to say it again. "The ask I have selected for today is for you to raise my marriage number by a factor of one by," and then make the request, whatever it is. One more time. The ask I've selected for today is for you to raise my marriage number by a factor of one by, and then make the request. And then when that is offered to you, gentlemen, husbands, this is how you will respond. You will say your wife's name, and then you will say, "What I heard you ask is for me to raise your marriage number by a factor of one by," and try to get as word for word what she asked you as possible. I want you to listen very closely, not just, yeah, okay, I know what you want, okay. But I want you to really try to mirror the exact words she gave you. So ladies, you gotta hone this puppy down to something he can repeat. You gotta get pretty concise. And you got to get pretty concise and don't hem and haw and preface it with a lot of stuff. Just say it. Just get it out on the table. This is what I want from you. And then husbands, your job is to reflect again. "What I heard you ask for me is to raise your marriage number by a factor of one by," and then give it back to her as close as possible to how she shared it with you. What does the scripture say in James? You know, quick to listen, slow to speak. Try to really listen. And then ask her, "Did I get your message?" So she can then at that point, you know, like, don't cut him off, ladies. Like, if he's struggling, you know, let him take a shot at it. He's going to ask you at the end, "Did I get your message?" And then you can say, "Yeah, exactly." Or you can say, "Almost. Here's a little part you might miss or I want to tweak or a little bit. Make it a little clearer," and then he'll repeat it again. So take the time to really struggle through this communication process to where, ladies, you feel like you have said what you want concisely and clearly. You've put it on the table before your husband. Husbands, make sure your partner knows that you have heard her. You're giving her the words back that she gave you as close as possible. Ask at the end, "Did I get your message?" Make sure she affirms that you did, or she needs to shift it or tweak it a little bit. She can do that, and then try it again. Make sure you get it down, and that's it. Okay. There's no. This is not this. The ask does not ensure that they will give you a yes. They're not going to necessarily promise anything right now. The whole exercise at this point is just to make sure you've had an excellent communication. That, ladies, you have shared exactly what you want in words your husband can understand and repeat back to you. And husbands, you've given an excellent message back to your wife. I think this is what you're asking. And you're not saying yes or no, because there's more to that process in a minute. You're just making sure you had a good exchange. Now, one of the things that's really important about this is John Gray points out that we probably spend, when we get into a conflict, we probably spend less than about 2 seconds discussing the conflict itself and about 10 hours talking about how we're talking about the conflict. All right? And so one of the things that really helps us communicate in marriage is to slow down, be clear, take the time to make sure you have said what it is that you want or need from your husband or your wife. And ladies, don't do this thing of, if you love me, you'd know. It's just not fair. You know, I have so many men say, I'm not a mind reader, you know. Well, if you love me, you know. And I know where that comes from. It comes from a place of wanting to be understood and wanting to feel like your husband's tuned into your world. And that's not an unfair thing. That's not a bad thing. But honestly, if you really want to make a real connection with him, don't leave it up to him to guess. Tell him what you want in words that he can understand and agree or not agree or adjust or whatever. Give him the data that he needs. Remember, he's kind of a data guy, and he's going to want to get the data first. And then, you know, you can work on it from there. So be clear, be concise. Men, repeat clearly what was given to you. And then make sure that it's been checked in. Yep, okay, we're good. We've made the connection. You got my message, or almost. You know, here's a little bit more you need to understand. Or ladies, you know, I don't think you got my message at all. Let's try it again, you know. But this is not the time now to take any further action on the request. Because what's going to happen next is that, men, you're going to have 24 hours to sit with this request. So what is it? So you have till about noon tomorrow to sit with this request. And within that time, you have 3 choices. Number one, you can take direct action to respond to her request. You can make a commitment to say, absolutely, I will give you that. I will respond to your request totally affirmatively. You get what you asked for from me. I commit to it, you know, right on. I'm all in. Okay, that's one possibility. Here's 2 more. You could say, I'm going to respond in the affirmative, and within the next 24 hours, I'm going to take one particular step to activate a plan to assure that you get what that request is. In other words, men, I don't want you to go, yeah, okay, I'll do that, and then you forget. You know, you don't do anything. So you have 24 hours, and not only if you decide to affirm the request, you tell your spouse, I'm affirming the request, I'm saying yes, and within 24 hours, do something. Take some action step to actually assure your wife that not only are you agreeable, but you're ready to act in some discernible way on behalf of her request, if that's what you're going to do. Now, let's say she requests something that you're just not prepared to deliver on. You know, no shame. This is an option. You can say, not no, but what you can say is, I've spent some time thinking about your request, and what I'd like to ask you for is a different request. She's got 2 more. So you're not shutting her down, you're not tuning her out, but you're saying, I've sat with that request, and what I really think is what I'd like to ask you for now is a different request. And then just go through the same process. 24 more hours, I mean, ask the same way, make sure you reflect that you got it the same way. 24 hour, the clock, you know, gets reset 24 more hours, and then if you're going to say yes to the second request, you're going to not only say yes, but you're going to take an action of some kind to affirm that you are actually engaging the request, okay? Any questions? Anybody not clear on what I'm saying? Yes, sir. Well, I guess what I'm trying to distinguish there, thank you for it. It's a good question, and I thank you for asking it. What I'm trying to distinguish there is, I don't want you to just simply say, oh, yes, I will do that for you, or I agree to that, or I'm saying yes to your request, and then do nothing. So step one is to, if you're going to say yes, affirm it. Maybe you can do that right now, or maybe you need 24 hours or 5 hours. But just don't just say yes. The second thing is, once you've said yes to one of the requests, then take an action step. That's what I mean by step two, being go ahead and plan something, go ahead and do something that makes it clear that you're responding not only in word but also in action. Or third, ask for a different request. You've got three. And as you might have guessed, then the process reverses. Men, it'll be your turn then. Use the same language and ask your wife in the same way, under the same criteria. Pick one of your three requests. Make it to her in a clear way. Make sure she repeats it back to you in a way that you are sure she understood it. And then when she's done, give her 24 hours to make a decision about how she will respond to your request. Or ask you for a second request. Okay, same process, just reversed. Okay, and then we're almost done. Okay, now there's two. Let's hope that you've got two more requests left in your back pocket after your first one is presented. Right? What are you going to do with those two? Are we done? No, we're going to use those later. How are we going to do that? So today, you're going to schedule a date night or a mini moon. I want you to put it on the calendar today, a date night or a mini moon that will take place by the end of this summer. There's a couple of things, your notes are going to be a little different than this. So scratch out end of the year, but end of the summer. Your second request you're going to make by the end of this summer, however you want to count that, September 1st, let's call it. Okay? And you're going to make a date or a mini moon sometime in June, July, or August, during which you will make a second request in exactly the same manner, all the same process, and you will take one of your other requests out of your back pocket and you will put it on the table and you'll say, you could bump my marriage number by a factor of one if blah, 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 and then, you know, exchange. Okay, same thing again. But just put your second one on the table by the end of this summer, okay? In the next 3 months. And go ahead and schedule that time today that you're going to do that, okay? And then the third one, same thing, just by the end of this calendar year. Before December 31st, go ahead and schedule a second time today, if you can. At the very latest, schedule it the day you meet for your next time, right, in the summer. But if you can, go ahead and schedule your second mini moon or date night or whatever for the third and final request to be carried out by the end of this calendar year, by the December 31st. So that by the end of this calendar year, starting today, you will have made three requests of your spouse in clear language, hopefully ones that you think you have a pretty good chance of getting what you are asking for. Your spouse will make three requests of you, and you will have the same opportunity to respond in all the ways that we've just described. And you'll do one today, one by the end of this summer, and one by the end of this calendar year. Okay, any questions on that? Are we clear? Yes, ma'am. Well, this goes to the skill level of your spouse. Hopefully you won't have to do it very much because your spouse is going to consider the potential of his or her request, and they are going to give themselves the opportunity of hitting a single or a double and having a pretty good chance of that you're going to say yes. But if for some reason, I'm just giving you a backdoor, if for some reason you can't, then they're going to use up their second request early. And maybe their third one. And so you know how to do this now, so there's kind of no end. This is not the only time that you can, you know, you can keep doing this the rest of your lives. I'm just giving you a little starter kit here today to get started on this. But yeah, so I would say husbands, wives, especially on that first one, try to really get on base on that one, right? And then keep that second one. The second one might be a little bit more challenging, so you might want to reserve that one for, you know, the next one, and then the third one might be even a little bit more like, you know, whoa, here we go, you know. But start small and strong rather than trying to swing for the fences on the first one. Oh, the mini moons. Oh, okay. Yeah, real quick. Once again, the mini moons are a 24-hour period that you set aside where the world goes away and you're in a bubble. It's just the two of you. So if you're at home, you stay home during that time. You know, you farm out the kids if you possibly can. You give yourself a little staycation at home, or you go away somewhere. You go overnight to a hotel or on a little trip, a little camping trip or whatever. You give yourself a 24-hour time to just have you time, us time, okay? That's kind of a basic mini moon. And then once a year, you do the same thing, only it's a 48-hour, it's a two-day bubble that you put yourself into where either you're going to stay at home or maybe go away one night and stay at home a day or however you want to combine it, but you're going to just give yourself us time for 48 straight hours once a year, and the other mini moons, the 24 hours, are three times a year, so once a quarter. Does that help? Okay. Any other questions or yes? Correct. Well, yeah, there are three of the things that you circled. It doesn't have to be necessarily a different category, but just go back through what you went through and circle three. Yeah. No. We're trying to hit as many of all three of those as we can. Yes, in each request, try to make them attainable. So let's say you got a pretty big request that's going to be, maybe you're thinking next year or five years out, you know, buy a home or whatever. That's okay. It's just that you want to give a request that can be responded to immediately enough to where, okay, then we're going to start a savings account to buy a home next week. You see what I'm saying? So make sure there's something practicable about it right away, even if the long-term request takes more time. But just give your husband or your wife something to start doing now. Okay, I'll put it on the calendar for September 30th, whatever. You know, I'll start saving for that now. Or, you know, I'll do some research this week on that thing that you're interested in. Or, you know, whatever it might be. And it might be something you can literally respond to almost instantaneously. Or it might be something that you can just begin to respond to almost instantaneously. But try to get activating on it pretty quickly. Does that make sense? Okay. Yes, ma'am. Yeah. Dude, what's the answer to that question? You know, you're going to, yeah. I think she just threw the gauntlet down. You're on the spot on that one. That's great. Awesome. Yeah. Hey, you can cheat and do five or six. It's okay. Nobody's going to arrest you, okay? Any other questions or thoughts? Okay, so now, in the interest of privacy, we're not going to necessarily want to have you write teamed up where you can overhear another couple. So I think that Mike has some things to close us off with. What I'd like to do is give you enough time to be dismissed. This shouldn't take a real long time to activate. If you need to check out first and then do it, whatever, but don't leave the property without taking this first step together. Try to do it before you leave and get caught back up in life. So I'm going to have Mike come up and dismiss us with whatever he's got to share with us today. And then however you can best work it out, if you want to stay in here and do it, but get private enough, if you want to go out into the lobby somewhere, if you want to go back to your room, if you have time, however that works best, but give yourself time and space and grace. Remember, time, space, and grace. Give yourself time, space, and grace to do this thing. And God bless you. I hope it goes well and that you have some real fun with it, okay?